Well, you may have heard the Realty Track numbers out today showing that foreclosure proceedings have dropped sharply across the country. Now, some analysts caution that the dip may be because of a backup of foreclosure proceedings. But what can be done going forward to help the millions of homeowners who've lost their jobs or whose homes are no longer worth the money they've already poured in? They're underwater. And looking back, why is there a debate over how we got here? We're going to spend a few minutes with New York Times business columnist Joe Nocera. Joe, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Robin.
We want to talk about how we get out of the foreclosure crisis. But first, you've been in a dust-up with Peter Wallison, a scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, over just how all this started. We don't want to judge the debate, but get at what the disagreement is and why it matters. So he was on the inquiry commission that looked into the crisis, and one of four Republicans who dissented from the final report?
All the Republicans dissented. But the other three Republicans dissented in a sane way, and he wrote his own 100-plus page dissent in an insane way. His obsession is that the crisis begins and ends and really has nothing to do with anything except Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Now, Peter Wallison has responded to your characterization by saying, well, he didn't say that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were ground zero, as you said, but that it was the federal housing policies that were carried out by the government-backed agencies that caused the crisis.
Yes, which is the same as saying Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were at the heart of it. So that's fine.
Well, let's just get to your position. You're not saying Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were without sin.
I am not saying that. And that's part of the problem of being in this fight and why this fight is so, on one level, silly, and yet on another level, so important. Fannie and Freddie did terrible things. You know, they were the biggest bully in Washington for years. They ran themselves like a private company, even though they were supposed to have, they were in fact supposed to have a housing mission, which they largely gamed for many, many years. Peter Wallace and I both agree that at a certain point, they did dive heavily into the subprime market. Peter's argument is that that was because they were forced to carry out these housing mandates to help low and moderate income people get housing. I believe that's not true. And what's more, he believes it happened much, much earlier, and basically the number of loans that they were involved in was much, much higher than I believe. And my belief, by the way, comes from reporting a book that was in part about this subject, All the Devils Are Here, which was about the genesis of the crisis.
You believe that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were kind of following Wall
Street.
That's
right. Yeah. Well, the subprime market grew because Wall Street and the mortgage originators were really tired of having to give a vigorous, as they call it in gambling, to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And subprime, they could get around Fannie and Freddie because Fannie and Freddie didn't guarantee those kinds of loans. So they did. They did an end run around Fannie and Freddie, and Fannie and Freddie's market share in the guarantee and the portfolio business was winding down dramatically. They used to guarantee 80% of Countrywide's loans, and then it dropped to 20% because Countrywide got so heavily into subprime. Now, why does this matter? The Republicans take the view that if you blame it all on Fannie and Freddie and government housing policies, then you're basically saying private industry didn't do anything wrong. This is all the fault of the federal government. So we don't really need to have any reforms in private industry. All we need to do is get rid of these stupid affordable housing mandates. And, you know, only people who can buy a house are people who are in the upper middle class. The Democrats tend to believe that the real problem was private industry. And they tend to sort of look the other way at the sins of Fannie and Freddie. And so their view is that what we need is a lot more government regulation and a lot more strictures on private industry.
In fact, that's what Peter Wallison writes. He says your columns against him are part of that, you know, Democratic left wing, if you will, move to control the economy. Because
he calls me part of the left. You know, I guess somebody somewhere has to see me as part of the left. I'm really not a leftist in any way, shape, or form. My view is that everybody was at fault here. Alan Greenspan was at fault. Angelo Mozilla, the head of Countrywide, was at fault.
And lawmakers on the left and the right who were willing to take apart regulations.
We need more regulations in some ways, and we need regulators who really can do their jobs. We need all of these solutions. We need private industry to act better. Part of what the Republicans are trying to do is put Fannie and Freddie out of business. And this gets to, I think, where you want this discussion to go, which is, what do we do about housing?
But before we get there, a couple questions. Just a reminder, Fannie and Freddie were created by the federal government to expand the number of mortgages, but they were this hybrid. They were created by the government, but they function in the private market. They made money. They gave the impression that they were government-backed before
right.
they were. Now, of course, after the bailout, they are. But you know, should they exist, this weird hybrid that sort of has a government endorsement but is private?
They certainly should not exist in the form that they were in before. I mean, that hybrid model was crazy. It really was crazy. It really was the classic example of, you know, privatizing the profits and socializing the losses. The taxpayers take the losses, and that is, in fact, what has happened. The notion that Fannie and Freddie should be revived in their current form is ridiculous. However, you know, we live in a country right now where the housing market is completely frozen, and the only mortgages that can be securitized now are mortgages that are guaranteed in one way, shape, or form by the federal government. That's just a fact. If you eliminated Fannie and Freddie tomorrow and you completely privatized the housing market, there would be no housing market. And there's a lot of Republicans who actually do understand this, but they don't want to say it aloud because it's so it's ideological heresy.
Well, it's become this divide represented by you and Peter Wallison. And just a couple more criticisms, because I do want to move forward to where you think we go now. But what about the criticism that it was Fannie and Freddie that led to the lowering of loan standards?
Well, that's basically the opposite of the truth. It is absolutely true that the federal government for many years has wrapped home ownership into the general idea of this thing that we call the American dream.
Just about every administration, I can remember George Bush saying it.
George Bush talked about the ownership society. But here's what the problem with the policy was. It is not that Fannie and Freddie therefore lowered standards. That is not what happened. What it did was it gave cover to sleazy companies like Ameriquest and Countrywide and New Century to get away with predatory lending and other kinds of abuses in the name of this American dream home ownership goal. And the subprime madness was allowed to go unchecked for so many years because there was a fear that if you stopped it, you would prevent people from owning homes. Yeah. Fannie and Freddie had almost nothing to do with that.
New York Times columnist Joe Nocera. We're also talking about Joe's disagreement with scholar Peter Wallison and others who say it's largely the government's fault, or rather the government-created agencies like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac that were carrying out government housing policy. Joe, start there. Peter Wallison says that your narrative is the same as the Democrats. Blame Wall Street. Now, you've said that this is not your narrative, but continuing with Peter's thoughts, he says that that narrative is challenged by things like the SEC's suits against top officers at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, people who took home hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, you know, as I say, there's plenty of blame to go around for everybody. And what they're being accused of by the SEC, and it's very curious that they only picked three executives from each company when you know, this stuff was discussed by dozens of people and so on. But what the SEC is saying is that they did not disclose appropriately to investors the size of their subprime portfolio. Maybe that will turn out to be true, but on the other hand, almost everything else in their brief and in their allegations supports the view that Fannie Freddie were followers, not leaders in this, that Fannie Freddie's subprime portfolios were much lower than Peter Wallison says, and that Fannie and Freddie were doing it for market share reasons, not to carry out home ownership goals. I mean, all you have to do is read the complaint to see that.
Well, let's go forward. Today, Freddie and Fannie announced they'll give unemployed borrowers the ability to defer all or part of their monthly payments for up to a year. Previously, it was just 3 months. After that 12 months, they're going to be able to make loan modifications. Now, a professor of real estate at the Wharton School is quoted in your paper, The Times, saying that this is very humane, but might it even slow down the foreclosure pipeline? Because homeowners aren't going to find the jobs at the end of that 12 months that will enable them to pick up those mortgage payments. Your thoughts on what can be done now? A lot of plans have been tried and they've failed.
They have failed. A lot of them have been piecemeal. The Obama administration everything it has done towards homeowners has been fairly grudging and reluctant. I do not believe the United States Treasury Department really believes that helping homeowners is a solution and would actually prefer to see the foreclosure process kind of, you know, chart its course.
Well, this is something that I think candidate Mitt Romney said on the campaign trail.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, this is Republican ideology, too, which is, you know, don't get in the way, just let it happen. The reason I think this is put aside inhumanity or humanity, just think about it in terms of economics. The reason we're in this trouble is that people bought homes that are now worth anywhere from 30 to 50% less than what they paid for them.
These aren't people who can't afford their mortgages. These are people whose homes are not worth what even the equity
right.
they put in.
Well, it actually works on all levels. There are people who can't afford the mortgages.
Yeah.
There are people who no longer can afford them because they're unemployed. There are people who bought subprime mortgages, and as the adjustable rate mortgage rose, they got in a position where they couldn't afford it. You know, and there are tons and tons of people whose mortgages, the amount they have to pay on their mortgages is far, far higher than the value of their home perhaps will ever be. The only way you're going to solve this problem is to narrow the gap between the size of the mortgage and the value of the home. You have to have a readjustment. You know, when a commercial realtor gets in trouble with a building, he files for bankruptcy. And that creates the readjustment between what the value of the building has become and what the realtor can pay. Mortgage holders are not allowed to file for bankruptcy around mortgages. If they could file for bankruptcy, you'd solve this whole problem tomorrow.
Well, but hold on a second, because we know you wrote a column back in November after talking to one of the country's leading authorities on mortgage-backed securities, Lori Goodman, who talks about how principles need to be lowered.
That is completely my view as well.
But that coupled with what you just said, bankruptcy, you know, the idea that you could lower a principal as opposed to adjusting the length of a loan or an interest payment, if you lowered the principal, somebody might be able to then pay it. The criticisms of that and of allowing homeowners to go bankrupt are that if people see other people getting to lower their principal, they might default just to get their principal lowered.
And you know what? That could happen. That could definitely happen. But there are ways to mitigate that. One way is to give the bank a piece of the equity in the home so that the bank has upside as the home begins to regain value. So that, in other words, if you create some economic consequence for the homeowner, you mitigate some of that potential moral hazard.
So if the house increases in value and you sell it down the road, you have to give a little piece of that back to the bank.
Yeah, you split the proceeds with the bank. But, you know, I'm a little, you know, it bugs me that everybody's so worried about the moral hazard of the homeowner. Nobody seems to worry about the moral hazard of the banks during the crisis when we were racing to spend, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars to bail them out from their own mistakes. Why is that acceptable behavior, and yet helping a homeowner is not?
Yeah. And others have pointed out that lowering the principal, at least the bank gets something.
Yes, and the reason that, look, there's a giant fraud going on here, which is that one of the reasons there's such reluctance to lower principal by banks is because if they don't lower the principal, then they can pretend until the person actually defaults, they can pretend that the loan is okay until foreclosure takes place. And so they don't have to write it off. If you have to write down principal, then you immediately have to take a loss on your books for what that principal is. So the illusion is shattered. I mean, I also happen to think that transparency and honesty on their books would be better, too.
That's Joe Nocera, columnist for the New York Times on all different aspects of the foreclosure crisis. Joe, you've also been following college sports, and we promise we will have you back on that. Your theory, what, that the athletes should be paid?
The athletes, the college football and men's basketball players should be paid, and that the series of incredible injustices that take place under the auspices of the NCAA desperately, desperately need to be reformed and brought to light. I can't wait to come back and talk about that.
Okay. Joe, thanks so much.
Bye-bye.